I obviously I wasn't paying attention to anything that was happening.
You're off.
Yeah. Par for the course, right?
Completely unprepared for this. Just jumping in with the beer and hoping things sound normal.
That's
where are you located, Tristan?
New York, in Queens, New York.
Nice. All right. I mean, doing okay with
I've been doing all right. Personally, I've been doing okay. Constantly anxious, but you know, that was more or less how I was before. So now I just stay inside and be anxious. So
well, now no one can see, right?
Yeah, well, that's God can see, but yeah.
God knows.
Yeah, God knows. He knows. But...
well, I'm glad you're doing well.
Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate the concern. Where are y'all at?
We're in Maryland.
Ooh, my Balmer.
I'm in my bedroom.
Yeah. Ooh.
Sam is in Balmer.
I'm in Balmer.
Balmer.
Paul and I live outside of Baltimore.
I see.
So we don't, we say the T.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, I don't.
Where I come from, no. Minnesota, it's Baltimore.
Yeah.
I went to Baltimore once. This is what I have to say. Great Barnes & Noble downtown. That is my...
It's pretty good.
Yeah, thanks. It's my opinion. That and that skate park, way to go.
Oh, yeah.
My friends in high school, we used to go to the Barnes & Noble and we'd sit out on the balcony and we would yell like just generic preppy white girl names out and see who would respond, like Amber and
Tiffany.
Brittany.
Claire.
Yeah, Veronica, we'd just yell them and see if anyone looked.
Jughead. Yeah, man, I miss having the time and that chaotic energy. You know, I still have that chaotic energy. I do not have the time to go and yell random things at random people. You take it for granted.
The older you get when you start yelling at people, the creepier it is. I don't know.
And then it circles back to being fine once you're like 80 plus.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bell curve there where you hit the maximum creepy around 40. Probably shouldn't be yelling just at random people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. 40 is probably max creep.
Yeah, I think that's the maximum creepiness. And then after that, you get kind of like, you get a pass because you're like, oh, he's 50. He's going to retire soon. He doesn't give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
when you're 40, you're like, dude, you got like 10 years. Like, what the hell are you doing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're young enough to know better.
Yeah.
But there's enough creepy 40-year-olds that people automatically assume the worst, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. The world is full of perverts. If we've learned one thing from 2019, it's that the world is full of perverts.
All right. Well, let's get into our
smooth transition there.
We're here with Tristan Miller. So Sam and Paul... and myself, Chad, are here. And Tristan Miller is a actor, comedian, fellow podcaster from New York that wanted to be on the show. So we invited him on.
Yeah.
Tristan, why don't you introduce yourself and introduce what you got going on?
Why don't I introduce myself? Hi, I'm Tristan Miller and I'm an alcoholic. Hi. So my name is Tristan Miller. I am a comedian, an actor, podcaster, writer, filmmaker, etc. Too many hats. It's like caps for sale all the time. I do two podcasts right now, and one of them is called Amateur Detective Club, where we review mystery media. We're going through Agatha Christie's Poirot series from the BBC. It's been a lot of fun, but we've also reviewed Knives Out and Clue and a bunch of other one-offs. And then I also do a podcast called Positive and Negative, which is a podcast about mental health and the arts. And I interview guests. I've had the privilege of speaking with Ahmed Best, who you may know as Jar Jar Binks from Star Wars episodes 1-3. I got to speak with Gary Goldman, who's a very funny comedian, and a few others, and a bunch of my friends as well, which are also equally interesting people, but you probably haven't heard of them.
Cool. I was kind of hoping your podcast was about different kinds of batteries and the positive and negative sides of those.
It's all about current, baby.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about B batteries and C's. Next week
C-cells,
is D's.
C-cells by the C-sore. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I did get an opportunity to listen to most of your episode about Knives Out, and it was a pretty fun commentary on the movie that was interesting to listen to. How did you lock down an interview with Jar Jar Binks? That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, can I tell you? It's random. a comedian who I interviewed for the podcast is friends with him out in LA. And I was like, hey, I noticed that you're friends with this person who is the reason I started acting. Do you think he'd be interested in talking to me? It was really, really moving. I had a whole existential crisis afterwards because I can trace back directly to seeing Star Wars Episode One in theaters. Cause I was like, I was born in 92. So I was the audience for that movie. And going, well, Jar Jar's funny. And my mom was like, yep, that's physical comedy. So I started watching Chaplin. And then my older sibling was in a physical theater troupe at our local civic theater. And then I joined that. And that's what started me doing acting. So like, it's directly traceable to that.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so
it's really cool.
Yeah. So speaking with him was just like, I had a meltdown for a little bit afterwards. I was like, now what, where do I go?
Yeah. That's so cool. I never really dissected Jar Jar that much to be like, oh yeah, he's doing Chaplin and Buster Keaton and all that stuff just for a modern audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I have a confession. Yeah. I am a fan of Jar Jar. I am not a Jar Jar hater. Out of the prequels, Episode One is my favorite. I think it's the best movie that they did in the prequels. And I like Jar Jar infinitely more than I like adult Anakin or even Emperor Palpatine in Episode Three was more ridiculous than Jar Jar ever was.
100%. So
handy. Oh yeah.
And can I tell you, as far as, and this is how I also critique these new movies that have come out, as far as a huge Star Wars fan, it's upsetting. I did turn to my parents recently. I was like, man, I wish I'd focused on like literally anything else. And they're like, yeah, us too. But Episode One is the most like, there's a beginning, a middle, and the end, and it's a movie. Like, you can just watch that one movie, you understand everything that's going on. Whereas Episode Two, you're like, I have to have watched the preview, and Episode Three the same way. And I feel that same way, weirdly, about A New Hope and Last Jedi. And I think every other ones of the movies, those are the strongest three in my opinion, because they are the most self-contained. They feel like a movie.
You do kind of get the gist of all the prequels in the first episode of each of the, you know, the little trilogies.
Yeah.
And you can kind of just watch those three and get the gist of what happens.
Mm-hmm. My favorite Star Wars is Empire. I don't mind that it feels like it's part of a story instead of an entire story. But in terms of the prequels, I thought that Phantom Menace was the best executed film.
Yeah.
In terms of what they were trying to accomplish and what they did, I felt that Attack of the Clones was just awful. And Revenge of the Sith had so much potential in a story, but it was poorly acted. It was poorly, you know, directed. It was poorly, you know, presented to the point where it was such a massive disappointment that it's hard for me to ever even consider that as good as any other Star Wars movie.
They should have put him in the suit. Like way earlier, like at the end of Episode Two, he should have been in the suit, huffing and puffing. You know, like that's what everyone wanted to see. Like,
I mean,
they want, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like if you're looking for like, for me, if you're looking for like brevity of just getting Anakin to where he needed to go, you should have started Episode Two. Should have been the first. Like what happened in Episode Two should have been Episode One, another movie that led up to Revenge of the Sith and then Revenge of the Sith, which is why they made the Clone Wars animated series, because George realized, well, I goofed and I'm going back and I'm fixing it, which is his seeming compulsion to do.
Yeah.
Lord knows that.
Definitely want to move on, but I'll say two things. Yep. There's a really good book in between Episode Two and Three called Labyrinth of Evil that really fills in that gap a little bit. And I wish that would have been a movie because it's very entertaining. And the Clone Wars cartoon is the best thing that came out of the prequels. It's awesome. It actually makes you care about the characters in a way that the movies just can't. Mm-hmm. Like you don't see any of that relationship or anything really grow there. So now that you introduce your show, Tristan, tell us what show you're on now.
Well, we're on this show. Script Promptu, is that how you say it? it was like Nosferatu? I don't know. where we get a number of prompts by rolling a die, and we, off of those prompts, create a film together.
Great.
The best film that we possibly can. It is made up on the spot. Saints preserve us.
And it normally stars Dame Judi Dench and Florrie Pugh.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Ugh. All right, so we're going to go ahead and roll the die and draw our prompts. And since it is Tristan's our guest, and he is kind of going to be leading the episode today, what we've been doing in our remote recordings, which we are still recording remotely due to coronavirus, I'm going to just kind of swish my hand around the cup, and you let me know when to pick a prompt, and I'll pull it out.
You wash them hands, man?
Yeah.
I wash them, you know, at least twice in the week.
My skin is so dry.
Yeah, right. All right, so I'm gonna roll.
All right,
and
stop.
No, I haven't.
stop rolling. Boy, it's roll, stop, drop, right?
Roll.
Five.
All right.
So I'm gonna go ahead and pick some prompts.
That's a big number.
Yeah. Huge.
Let me know when you want me to draw Tristan. All right, the first card is a quarter.
All right, let me know.
The second card is a setting that's in a stadium.
Okay, hoarder. I'm going to write this down. Otherwise, I'm going to forget it.
That a hoarder a stadium.
And let me know when you want me let me know when you want me to draw again.
Go ahead.
Okay. We have a cat.
Hell yeah. All right.
So this says it's a prop, so it doesn't need to be like a talking cat or a significant character. It just needs to be, as you can probably see, I have some cats in the background over there. You know, so they're just in the scene. Maybe it's like a Boondock Saints where one of them gets shot or whatever, but like it doesn't have to be a real...
You don't want like, Kevin Spacey to do another movie where he voices a cat?
No. All right, let me know when you want me to...
Go for it.
Pick again. There is a character that is a squirrel.
All right.
Okay.
I don't like that cats are second-class citizens to squirrels. In this
I kind of like it. Squirrels take over, and now they have pet cats.
Yes.
So the difference between the prop and the character is that a character as a squirrel means that, you know, it actually has to have some sort of character development. Like, it doesn't have to be a talking squirrel, but like, you know, like the dog in I Am Legend is a character versus a dog in some other movie where it just kind of is in a scene and or is something that they, you know, that I want my dog back or whatever.
John Wick.
Gotcha.
John Wick. Yeah. Or it's the one with the one where they were trying to get the cat back, who was voiced by Keanu Reeves.
Keanu,
yeah. Yeah, that one.
what was that called?
Like that. Oh, yeah, what was that one called?
Okay, all right,
we got one more prop to draw here, Tristan. Let me know.
Yeah, go ahead, go for it.
Do it.
Very specific set of skills.
All right, we have a setting that is on the street. A setting that is on the street.
On the street?
Okay. So let's just go over them one more time. Da-dee-da-da. We have a hoarder, character that's a hoarder. We have a character that is a squirrel. Those characters could be the same character or they could be different characters. We have a setting that's in the stadium. We have a settings in the street. The settings don't need to be the primary setting of the entire movie, but they should be a significant setting in a scene. You know, it should be something significant. And we have a prop that is a cat. So that cat is not necessarily a character, but more just like a object in a scene that has some significance.
Gotcha. Alrighty.
Normally how we do this, and it's up to you, Tristan, we kind of go around and everyone kind of throws out their ideas and then you can decide how you want to move forward based on that.
Sure.
It's kind of helpful to get some, you know, juices flowing that way.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if Sam or Paul have any ideas.
My first reaction is a interracial love story between a cat and a squirrel. On the streets in the animal kingdom, it's taboo. And they want to get together because they love each other. But all the other animals in the street, the rats, the dogs. What other some street animals? Your occasional
birds.
Yeah, pigeons. Mm-hmm. They're totally against it. It's a musical.
All right.
And
is this animated or is this live action?
This is puppeteered with with real animal corpses.
Oh, taxidermy?
Taxidermy.
We've been wanting to do a show like that for a very long time.
Yeah. That was my...
Even David Lynch is like, this is too weird. What are you
That's
doing?
That's my first reaction. A musical about a cat and a squirrel who's in love. Squirrels are probably just hoarders. They're always hoarding nuts and whatever. But yeah, it's my original, immediate reaction.
Okay. All right, what do you got, Chad?
I also went I was also thinking of a squirrel and a hoarder kind of being the same, or at least there's a hoarder in the family or something. So if it's a squirrel family, then maybe the mom, just hoards nuts like crazy and there's just nuts. Or maybe it's not nuts. Maybe she hoards like Topps baseball cards or something. And just,
it's very specific. Not Fleer. It's got to be Topps.
Yeah. And this weird weird squirrel that just, collects things off the street and hoards them. Maybe to not go, directly down into what Sam was talking about with a animated feature of animals.
It's not animated. It's puppeteered.
Puppeteered.
It's
puppeteered. Like Rankin and Bass.
It's very real.
Yeah.
What if it's kind of like there is a character who is an actor, a voice actor, who's working on this animated feature about a squirrel that has... some of those qualities I was just talking about, like there's a hoarder squirrel and everything. And this is kind of a story of seeing from both sides. You see clips of the movie, you see some of these clips of the movie that he's in as he's producing it, but you also are seeing other aspects of his life or her life or however we want to do that. And there's maybe some parallels there on how the story is developing and what the character learns by the end of it.
Hmm.
I when you say that, I immediately kind of think of like a Charlie Kaufman kind of movie where it's like both stories are kind of informing each other and he's learning how to balance his life through this weird cartoon that he's narrating and everything. And then like the worlds kind of mix together.
Just like Welcome to Marwen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that could be a pretty interesting movie.
In sincerity, I was actually thinking the same thing of like, okay, so we got a romantic comedy about a guy like who works at like Dodger Stadium, and there's this really this wonderful new person that he meets. But the woman's like higher class than him. But also going on is there's an infestation of rodents at Dodger Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mostly squirrels, but they get a bunch of cats to try to get rid of these various rodents. And so eventually the cats do take over. But all of the interactions with the cats and the squirrels are all either puppetry or animated. And it switches between being like this weird sort of Rankin Bass, like you said, Sam, taxidermy puppetry, and then it cuts between this romance and it goes back and forth, and there's like a class war, and that is also represented in the romance. So they're like, they have a dichotomy, a class war between the cats and the squirrels, and also, and then they're on the street at some point.
okay
What were you thinking, Paul?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go the furry route.
Yeah.
And
nice.
This is the story of a dude in his squirrel costume, and he never takes it off. It's like Judge Dredd, where this is just him. He is the squirrel all of his life.
What was that movie recently where the guy like always dressed up as a robot or something? What was that?
Oh, he dressed up as a robot.
Mm.
Star Wars Episode 9. The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the
I
one.
Mean, like a never yeah. nude, you know, you can never,
yeah. but a never yeah, not like squirrel. Never yeah. A never not squirrel.
Yeah. Oh, Frank. Is that what it is?
I think it's Frank,
the,
yeah.
Where Michael Fassbender yeah. has the head because he has
oh, gosh, kind of like a so
disabled kind of brain, and that's his coping mechanism to just okay. wear this head.
So it wasn't a robot. Yeah, yeah. He was just wearing a fake head on his head.
He was wearing like a paper mache yeah. head.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he was like starting a band. What was it?
Domhnall Gleeson joins.
He's from Star Wars.
Yeah, Domhnall
Gleeson. Yeah,
comes in.
Yeah, he goes to like write a story and then joins yeah. him on this weird journey.
It's yeah, yeah. really good movie. Big fan yeah, of that movie.
I totally yeah. forgot about that movie till yeah. just now.
I've seen it probably yeah. five times.
So
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's a furry.
Anyways, so he's a furry, and there's going to be this big furry convention. In,
always ends great.
Let's say. A baseball stadium. Let's make it Chicago.
Okay. They actually have the big furry convention in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
If you were concerned about being accurate.
Oh, so we could do it at a pirate stadium. That could be cool because there's a good amount of nice outdoor vistas that a squirrel would be welcome in Pittsburgh.
Mm.
So I think that would be a good place for him to wander around and a cheap place to shoot into if you're trying to keep this low budget.
I'm sorry. Can you say something? Just a shot for shot remake of Joker, but instead he's a furry. That just came into my mind. It's like him dancing, but in just a squirrel costume.
Yeah, they have that like I forget what they called like a vernacular or whatever that like it's like a cable yeah, car yeah. that takes you from the river bottom to the top of this hill yeah. and he could be dancing on top of that in the squirrel costume just like the Joker and that's his like stairs
perfect.
Right
perfect
yeah a couple years ago my wife and I were visiting Pittsburgh for the weekend and we were staying across
because
the
there was a furry convention in town obviously
we were staying across the street from the convention center so our entire you know hotel and the streets and everything were just furries
oh
everywhere. It was an interesting weekend. It was fun. And everywhere we went, they asked if we were there for the furry convention. And it's just like, no, we were here to watch the pirates and go to the Hofbra house. and that's about it.
Oh boy. So what happened to this furry man?
So this furry man is trying to deal with his hoarding father who is in bad health and needs to be put into like a home to take care of him because the furry guy cannot do it himself. And the furry guy deals with not only his father's trauma, but his personal trauma because he has gotten so deep into this furry culture that he just never takes off the squirrel costume. And this is his life now as a squirrel. And he's able to get away with it because he works remotely. So he's not like in an office. But whenever he goes out to, you know, the grocery store or whatever, he's going to be in the squirrel costume. And it's about his weird life over the course of a week or so as he's dealing with moving his father, cleaning up their past in the house, and him trying to reconnect with this girl that he met as a cat in this big convention that's going to happen at the Pirates Stadium at the end of the week.
Mm. Well, maybe
it's kind of a drama, a little bit more tongue-in-cheek, you know, dark comedy kind of a deal.
I'm seeing it a little bit like Lars and the Real Girl, where he's coping with something. And maybe that's what he ends up doing at the convention. He gets comfortable taking the mask off or something like that. Because you know, no judgment at all in the furry community, but it is unhealthy to be in a costume 24/7, right? So like,
at some point he's got to
pass that.
He's got to grow,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I really like that idea. And then once again, going to this whole thing of there's these dream sequences that are animated with taxidermied animals.
Yes.
I am actually sincere about that, of like how he's like processing his own life and and like his dad's a squirrel that's hoarding, and then he's another squirrel. And then obviously there's the cat that seems to be like a threat to his father somehow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that could be really fun to interplay with that.
Yeah, it could be like maybe he's like a writer for children's books or something like that.
Sure.
So he really inhabits the character while he's yeah. writing the book, so he just like stays yeah. in this this squirrel world while mm-hmm. he finishes it up, and you know, the book that he's writing mirrors his personal life and everything.
Yeah,
I like that too.
I have a friend who personally identifies with squirrels. Like he like dresses up like squirrels. Yeah, talks about squirrels. He's got a bunch of squirrel stuff in his house.
Does he wear like a little tail?
He's got
when
a
he
suit.
Goes out and stuff.
He dresses up like okay. a squirrel for Halloween a lot.
Yeah, I had a person that I used to work with who's a manager at fucking PetSmart, and she dressed like a cat all the time. And when she was working, she would still wear the cat ears mm-hmm. and the cat tail. Mm-hmm. And she would have like those cat mm-hmm. paw mitten things
yep.
for your hands. But she, if she was like actually doing work, she would just kind of like let them dangle from her wrist instead of actually have them on. Boy. But then she jumps on the computer. She puts on her fucking cat paws and types away. She, weird as fuck.
Hey, whatever thing. Gets you off.
But yeah, those. Those people like exist in the world, you know? It's like,
yeah,
you know?
Sam, not whatever. I mean, the cat thing, fine, but not whatever.
Well, you know, within the...
There's a limit to getting off.
Statutes.
It was always weird when, like, corporate came and, you know... I can see my boss talking to her, be like, you got to take the fucking cat shit off when this guy
she's
shows
like,
up.
No, 14th Amendment, motherfucker. Oh
she like wear it up right to the second he walks in. And then you see her like quickly take off the ears and shove her down the pants. So she's like, all right, I'm a normal ass person. Just, no, you're fucking weird. Stop this.
Tristan, like, you know, just to add at? A little background. The taxidermied puppet show is something that mm-hmm. Sam and Paul and I have been talking about for years. It's
yeah.
Well, I'm on board.
It has to have been like 5 years now we've been talking about the taxidermied puppet show and what we would do with it. The last thing I think we landed on was using it to do like 15-minute recaps of popular Hollywood movies, like distill it down into these animal puppet shows where they're kind of like how Muppet Babies did, mm-hmm. you know, back in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
They would like,
oh, I know Muppet Babies.
They would like do a famous movie, but distill it down to like 20 minutes. But with taxidermy like animals.
What about
like Be Kind Rewind, where they did like Alien 7 mm-hmm, or something like mm-hmm. that, you know?
What about, oh man, I had something just now. All of Wuthering Heights. Just all of it done stop motion animated with taxidermied animals.
We could do all like just classic American literature.
Everything that's royalty free at this point. Yeah, all of Shakespeare's
Grapes of Wrath, all that stuff. Anything in, you know, public domain. We
precisely. Yeah. Little Women. That's on in the public. That's in the zeitgeist.
Yeah. We can always use another Little Woman.
Yeah, one thing we have learned.
I think we already had a plan for Little Women. We were going to combine all the women into one woman.
There's going to be a very large woman.
Named Gort.
Yeah. All right, so what are you thinking out of all these wonderful ideas, which I do think we came up with a plethora of good ideas there.
It's a first.
You got your own idea.
Our first good ideas.
I mean, like, I like borrowing a little bit from everybody. I like the psychological drama, and then I like doing the puppets in some capacity with it. I honest to God think that I recently watched Blue Velvet for the first time, and that terrifying Robin at the end, that's stuck in my head forever. Yeah. I love it. And then, can you remind me of yours, Chad?
Oh, I was thinking the voiceover actor who's in like the animated thing about a squirrel, and then you're seeing scenes from his life and the movie, and they kind of parallel interact with each other.
Yeah. So I think we can combine all of them. All
right.
Because the animated movie, obviously, stop motion animation with an entire animal. And then... And then it's a psychological drama that the guy who is slowly losing his mind in is, I don't think he should start as a furry. I think he should become a furry by the end of it. Mm-hmm. And he starts off just working on this movie as a voiceover artist. And then he slowly becomes a furry. And
what if
goes
he feels
to,
that he's a method actor and he just goes like insane with it and it starts kind of like derailing his life where like his lover leaves him,
over into his life a little too much.
His lover leaves him. Yeah, he loses his house. It's all full of garbage that he's hoarded. He gets evicted, so he starts sleeping in a stadium. And he befriends a cat during that time who is one of the maintenance workers' cats that lets him know when the maintenance worker shows up. And so he knows when to like pretend to not be there. And by the end of it, he becomes the mascot for the new team.
The Fighting Squirrels.
Fighting Squirrels from Crazy Go Nuts University.
Okay. Well, normally what we do at this point is try to pin down who our characters are and what the catalyst is to move that forward. And then we try to go through and structure out a pretty rough outline of what the plot would be based on that, you know?
Okay.
So if we want to focus on this method acting voiceover artist who's playing a squirrel and a taxidermied animal puppeteer show. and he, what do we think the catalyst is to kind of propel the motion forward? Right.
I think it should be a woman because I want Catherine Hahn to do something fucking weird. number one. And I think the catalyst could be if they live with their grandfather, because I like that idea. If the grandfather dies.
Okay.
And that starts to derail the whole thing because they both are hoarders. And so now Catherine Hahn, the squirrel, has even more things to put in her apartment. What do you think about that? And that stress.
So their father dies and
going
through his stuff, they start to become hoarders because they can't let go of a lot of things that he had in his place.
Yeah.
Because it just reminds them of their past. Okay.
I don't know if I'm familiar with Catherine Hahn. Is it H?
Yeah, I'm looking her up, too.
Oh, okay. That's fine. She's not even Catherine Hahn. She was in Private Life recently with Paul Giamatti. She did Mrs. Fletcher on HBO. She is very good and very cute. Bad Moms she was in. She was in Parks and Recreation. She's like a comedic character actor.
Yeah.
I think I recognize
her. Bad Moms.
Her. Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Well, good. We're on the same page now.
Yeah, I think that works really well.
I was spelling her name completely wrong.
I was just trying to get in there and figure out who we're talking about before we
get all good. All good. But yeah, I think that could be a good catalyst. And then they have all this stuff. And then because of all this stuff, it just builds and builds and builds. And then eventually they have to get evicted for some reason. Maybe they don't need to get evicted. Maybe she just goes nuts and starts sleeping at a stadium. What do you guys think?
Yeah, like she's not in the stadium, but she's like right outside it, like in a box or something.
Maybe there is something in like the father's house that reminds her of a trip to the stadium, you know, some kind of thing that they connected on. And she wants to go and kind of relive that, but it's not baseball season or football season, whatever one you want to do. You got two to choose from in Pittsburgh. So
I think it should be Topps trading cards.
All right.
And she has all these Topps trading cards.
It's a bunch of Topps trading cards.
Yeah.
Very They're going to be worth something one day.
Yep.
Definitely.
Look, it's going to come back around. They're going to pick back up. Mm-hmm. Going to be millionaires. I'm going to just hold on to those for a while.
I still got a couple boxes in my like box of things from my childhood.
Oh, yeah. I have so many of them.
I got a book right over there.
Yeah.
All my treasures.
But I like this idea of her befriending like a maintenance worker that works at the stadium. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally would love to see James Earl Jones in a very good mm-hmm. performance, like actually seeing him as opposed to mm-hmm. hearing only
no.
his voice.
Yeah. No.
I did like when they did this new Lion King, they were like, we can't replace James Earl Jones. He's just too good.
He's Mufasa. Yeah.
I love his performance in Field of Dreams.
Oh, it's so good.
I think he should, like, not just be used for his Darth Vader voice. He should be used for his actual acting ability. I know he did a lot of stuff in the 70s, but he's kind of slowed down in his older years.
Yeah,
he can still get him before he passes a
James Earl Jones on, you know? Yeah. Is 89 years old.
Yeah. He's getting up there. He's still doing plays, though, is the thing.
It sounds like so much more fun than making a movie if you're an actor.
Having done both, I prefer movies. Plays, the rehearsal process is a nightmare, in my opinion. Of course, I've also never gotten paid for that time, so that might have a huge
James Earl Jones
to do with it. He's probably getting paid to rehearse.
He's
probably.
Getting
probably
scotch money, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so if we're starting off with our character, Catherine Hahn, and she, her father died, is what we're saying. And that kind of pushes her into this lifestyle where she starts dressing up as the squirrel character that she's playing in this puppeteered show. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not a movie. Maybe it's an ongoing show that she would.
She has time to build with this character and live with it for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does that play out? I mean, we start by establishing that she's an actress in the show, that she has a father who's a bit of a hoarder, and he's, you know, a little sick, and then he dies. They go through the funeral stuff. And then how does that transformation play out, and what is that leading to? So does she just show up to work the next day in a squirrel outfit, or is it something that is a little bit more gradual?
I think it's going to be gradual, right? Like, he dies, he leaves her this big, nice house in Pittsburgh, and it's all full of stuff, and she starts going through it, and she just starts having these, like, memories that could be animated in a different style, or it could be in a similar style to the show, but just a different story than when she shows up, and she starts to kind of like relate her past with this current show that she's working on.
What if she actually finds the squirrel costume in like her dad's attic, and she had no idea that he had a squirrel costume and doesn't know why?
Mm-hmm. Or may I offer this suggestion instead?
Definitely.
That she, obviously, if she's an actress, she always wanted to be an actress. She used to put on plays as a kid. Her grandfather always encouraged her and her parents didn't. And so up in his attic is a squirrel costume from when she was a child putting on a play.
Mm.
And then she slowly makes like a superhero making their own costume montage of a full squirrel costume. And if I know one thing about psychosis, it's this. It's spurred on by lack of sleep. So I think she has to sort through all of that her grandfather's stuff before some sort of deadline. So she's staying up really late, and she keeps going, and she keeps going, and she keeps pushing herself, and eventually she like has a meltdown.
Okay.
And what if, and I don't know if we want to go this route or not, but just throwing something out there. If all the stress from everything is starting to affect her performance, and she starts getting criticized by the director on the show, and she kind of internalized that and decides to start trying to be more method about her approach. And that could be one of the things that kind of pushes her to start wearing the squirrel outfit. But I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not.
I think that's very funny. I think that's very solid. It's like, you want a squirrel? I'll show you a squirrel. Absolutely, we'll do that.
Okay.
Why not? Like, it starts slow at first. Like, she shows up with like a squirrel shirt, and then later she shows up in full costume. Then they're like, "Oh, you went way too hard."
So you gotta calm down.
All right, so just trying to think of how this could be structured out.
Someone in a VO booth just with a microphone through a squirrel mask. Excuse me, miss, you're a little muffled. Can you take that again? And one more time for safety. Thank you.
Can we try that one without the head? Mm-hmm. Please take the head off.
No!
Put the head on the fucking ground.
I'll never do it!
So she's obviously having some serious issues with dealing with her the death in her family and stress from work and stress for having to, you know, get this hoarder's house together and all that stuff. And it starts building up into her adopting this full-on squirrel character 24/7. And then, so what happens then? So does she get fired from her show? Like, because you clearly don't have it together, or maybe she's put on some sort of suspension. And so, because we need to get to kind of that point mid-movie where everything kind of gets turned over on her a little bit, leading yeah. into the climax and whatever resolution that we're going to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good route to go, even though I think it is unrealistic that Hollywood would ever care about the mental health of a performer. But yeah, I think they should okay, you got to stop coming in. We'll work around it.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I think she should get fixated on something else. And maybe we could use the stadium here of like, since she found all those Topps baseball cards, she could start going to the stadium and like going every day, even just to watch spring training mm-hmm. or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, eventually, like at first they're like, you cannot be here. You're in a full squirrel costume. And eventually they warm up to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, somehow lead her back into like accepting the fact that her grandfather's dead. How do they do that? How do several men in baseball uniforms do that? Well, I know thinking, one way.
I was thinking maybe, so we talked about this janitor character played by James Earl Jones, yeah. but maybe it's not a janitor. Maybe it's like an usher or someone that just kind of helps people to get to their mm-hmm. seats. And she keeps on mm-hmm. showing up and he keeps on talking to her. He sits down and talks to her. And maybe
mm-hmm.
the relationship with him, you know, kind of helps her put some perspective to it.
Yeah.
And then I was just thinking, if he's older, so we have James Earl Jones, mm-hmm. who's 90 years old almost. Maybe
mm-hmm.
maybe him passing is something that,
yeah,
if after she kind of develops this relationship with him, mm-hmm. maybe it's something that helps kind of knock her out of it. I don't know.
Do you want this to be like a hopeful story, so at the end she's better, or is she descending into madness? Because like, I think if we're going to do a hopeful kind of story, at some point she probably needs to meet like a love interest or have a sister or a brother or a friend or someone that
mm-hmm.
kind of pulls her out of this spiral that she's going down. If you're going to make her go crazy and have this be kind of bleak at the end, then just fucking throw everything at her mm-hmm. so everyone's dying. And then, you know, there's also a space invasion happening, you know, this is like, let's fuck her up,
mm-hmm.
you know? So what are we doing? Are we helpful or are we destroying the world?
Well, that's what I was kind of thinking with the James Earl Jones older usher, is that the relationship isn't romantic or friendship. It's more mm-hmm. of like a supplement for the relationship she had with her grandfather or
yeah.
her mm-hmm. father or whoever died. And she starts coming out of it. And I don't think he necessarily has to die. But what I was thinking there is kind of this ultimate show of her being better, as if that character also dies and she doesn't like go back into insanity. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I like was
she
thinking.
Forms a bond with this guy, and she's able to kind of say what she always wanted to say to her father, mm-hmm. but
yeah.
she says it to him, mm-hmm. and that kind of gets her out of it, and brings her back to kind of reality.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
I agree. Okay. I would make one suggestion as well with I think you're right, he should be a ticket taker. And I think he should be someone that she and her grandfather and her father all knew going to the games her whole life. So it's not mm-hmm. like she has to, like, she knows this person, they're friendly, but they're not good friends. And then,
yeah.
And then the catalyst.
Like, he was a constant when she was a kid, but now that she's older, mm-hmm. she hasn't gone in a while, and he still remembers her, so he's able to be like, you yep. know, your grandfather cared a lot. We actually knew each other outside of the stadium, and we were friends.
Yeah.
And that kind of backstory into her grandfather helps inform her healing out of squirrel blood.
yeah.
Squirrel mania or whatever.
Squirrel mania, yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that's very solid. And like, as far as this story goes, I think that resolution is good. And, you know, you can have a really nice speech from James Earl Jones and like how both he and her grandfather were proud of her and for pursuing acting. And that's mm-hmm. such a wonderful gift that you're giving people with this weird taxidermy show. And that kind of talks her down enough to realize, oh, right, I am an actor. I'm not a squirrel. I, you know, like, it's like, it, you know, wakes her up enough. And at the end, she buys a cat.
Yeah.
She could either buy a cat or, like, a cat is one of the things that's in the house that's left to her.
Yeah. I think that's what it should be.
Instead of, you know, just being like, I'm going to get rid of this fucking cat, she takes it on as, all right, I'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, my grandfather and the ticket taker guy were mm-hmm. trying to take care of me.
Yeah, I think that would be a nice thing to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I like that.
Any other plot points, characters that we need to talk about, develop, or anything like that? I want to make sure that we're thorough.
I mean, you're going to have, like, the sound guy be probably a bigger character than it should be for, you know, her work. They'll be kind of a weird asshole-y boss
director
guy. But the sound guy is going to be on her team, you know, and try to protect her from the asshole director, you know.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, because I feel like there's been a couple things thrown around, I want to make sure that everyone knows who dies. Is it her grandfather or her father?
I think her grandfather, who was more encouraging to her than her parents was. And like, she had a falling out with her parents, and maybe the funeral for her grandfather is the first time that she's seen her parents in like 10 years.
Do you want to do that? Or do you want to have like her parents died and she was basically raised by her grandfather, but she never quite embraced him as like that father figure?
Yeah, I mean, you could do that. That would mean like her parents had to have died. Like, they would need to have been around so she remembers them.
Yeah, so she was like 9 or whatever.
And then custody went to him.
And then, like, maybe her parents were into drugs, and then he fought for her to gain custody of her, but then she always resented him for taking her away from their parents. And that's why there was always kind of, like, that conflict as she was coming into her teen years. She was like, you took me away from my family. And he's like, I am your family, and I protected you from your drug addicted father and your fucking whore of a mom who I don't even know where they ended up, but they died, you know.
But they're definitely
after
dead, and not just in Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I like that a lot, actually. That like her parents like fucked off to Mexico or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a thought, because we had talked about showing scenes from this show to kind of supplement things.
Yeah.
So let's focus on that a little bit. What is happening in those scenes and how is it supplementing what she's going through in real life? And I feel like we could do that two ways. We could do that where we show her doing the voiceover stuff for certain scenes and that, but then those parts really come up in the first half of the movie, because eventually she gets, you know, kind of kicked off the show or put on suspension for her health. Or do we just kind of cut in glimpses of the show, of episodes she's been on, as these kind of cutaways? So you have this two different things going on.
Mm-hmm. I think it starts off with her in a voice, a VO booth, syncing audio to two pictures, so we understand what the picture looks like. And that one's just like a simple, like, that just is establishing her job. That's all that scene does. But yeah. Then once her grandfather dies, there's another, like, I think it's got to be a kid's show, right? Mm-hmm. It's got to be a kid's show.
I would think so.
Played like that. Yeah. You know?
And there's like, got to be like a...
It should appear as if it's a kid's show.
Whether it's a creepy puppet show or not, it should be kid content.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Precisely. Kid friendly, at least. Yeah.
And I think one of the episodes after her grandfather passes should involve like a character's grandfather, and she like starts crying, and like there's that. Mm-hmm. And then once she slowly like gets into the squirrel costume, and it's not, it's clear that she's not well, we still keep cutting back to the show as if it's still going on, and the show is like what's happening with her, but it's become now apparent that that's in her mind and not in like actuality.
I was just thinking that, and she kind of just takes it off in a whole different direction. So it's no longer really kid focused. It's more just like directly reflective of things she's going through. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. It just reminds me of like Mrs. Doubtfire when he like starts ad-libbing all the shit about the bird smoking.
Yep.
And they're like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like, well, smoking's bad. Shouldn't have that for kids. And they're like, just read the script, you know. It's like she just starts inferring all this weird backstory into this kid's show, and they're like, all right, you need to fucking break. You're just going crazy.
Maybe, you know, to kind of go off of that, because I really like that, and also kind of related back to what you said about making it like the Joker, which is also just kind of like a remake of King of Comedy, which I think handled the whole thing a lot better. What if, so you see these scenes going, and she's going through everything, you see these scenes, and there are some that are in her mind, and there's some that are the show. And then that one where she gets fired, she just goes on this crazy rant about stuff. So like, she brings her fantasy storyline into the her actual job, and she's not reading the script anymore. And that's what really just kind of is it for that. You see the fantasy keep on going after that, but up until that point, it's a little less obvious on what's fantasy and what's just her doing her job, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of King of Comedy, just briefly, my girlfriend's the funniest thing. She's like, yeah, this movie, I don't think really, really works anymore, because anyone who is Robert De Niro's character would just have a podcast. That's just what, and he'd get all that energy out and then it'd be fine.
And we're here.
But no, I really like that. I think that's a really solid way to differentiate everything. Yeah.
I like this a lot. I think that from a kind of mixed up jumble of things, I think we came up with a story that I would actually kind of enjoy watching. So I'm excited about that. Why don't we talk about casting outside of Catherine Hahn, right? And James Earl Jones. We probably need to cast, like Paul said, the audio tech and the director.
Yeah, and also her grandfather, I think.
I thought, oh yeah, and her grandfather.
So I would like the grandfather, since he died today, to be Brian Dennehy. We mentioned him before when talking about First Blood, and I think he kind of toes that line with being a good grandfather kind of person, and also a evil bastard. And I think he would, like, you know, if we could have him alive in this role, I think that would be great. And I just wanted to give a little shout out to Mr. Dennehy being dead. Sorry, man.
It works. Sorry for that.
Sorry for you dead, being old. I guess. What?
You shouldn't have fucked with Rambo, man.
You know who plays a really good dick character? And and I was thinking about this the other day, because that other podcast that I was on this week was talking about the life of Walter Mitty a couple episodes ago.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And what's his name in that? The guy who plays Ben Wyatt on Parks and Rec.
Adam Scott.
Adam Scott played such a wonderful, like, dickish character in that movie. And if we wanted to get a younger director in that is taking his job of a taxidermy puppet TV show way too seriously.
And he holds up one of the puppets.
Yeah,
I think that he could do a really good job at that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was thinking for the sound booth guy that likes her, Ben Schwartz, also from Parks and Rec, as is Catherine Parks and Rec Han. Show. So it's like we're mostly just pulling.
Should there be someone else like on the show that does one of the other voices? That's maybe a friend of Catherine Hahn's that's kind of like looking out for her with some of this stuff. Like maybe another actor for the show.
Yeah I think so. Yes, I think that's great. I'm trying to think of, I don't know who would play this part.
Actor to play that part. I think it's a little known actor named Tristan Miller.
Thanks. My suggestion was going to be this, actually, that it's another woman. And to make matters worse, when she starts going off and they're like, okay, we have to re-record, but we can't re-record with her, they bring her in to start doing the squirrel part. And that also adds to the stress, you know, because they have to keep making the show. But I'm trying to think of like someone.
Are you saying Tristan Miller doesn't have the range to play a woman?
I have the range, I think he can do but it. I don't want the Twitter discourse. That's what it is.
Why don't we do Kristen? What's the
Kristen Bell,
the chick from Bob's Burgers, who plays Louise?
Kristen Shaw.
She does voices, and so she's gonna like kind of sub in for different voices.
I like her a lot. She's one of my favorite like comedians right now.
We saw her live
at the Flight of the Conchords show, and it was really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, her set was hilarious.
She's so strange. I love it. It's just like, oh, okay, now she's just pretending to be a horse. No one gets it, not even her.
That is great. Paul, you had said something earlier that I thought would be a interesting title, and now I forgot what it was, and I should have written it down.
What did I say?
I don't know.
Well, Sam, you haven't spoken in what feels like 3 days. Why don't you name it?
Well, I feel like squirrels should be in there.
Okay.
What do squirrels have? Do they have dens, or they just have nests? Holes?
I think they have nests. They make nests. Yes, they have nests. Twigs.
Don't they like steal other birds' nests?
Nest pirate.
I don't know about that.
Is that like an aspect of squirrels? Nutchucker. I was kind of thinking maybe like the name of the kids show should be the name of the movie, but maybe that doesn't work for this because that's not particularly the whole focus of this.
Yeah, and we don't want a gremlin situation where people think that it's like for kids.
Yeah.
And then they show up and they're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Uh-oh, we shouldn't have did this.
Oh, gosh darn it, I should have read the whole synopsis on IMDb. God damn it.
I went to go see The Mist in theaters, and someone brought, like, a whole bunch of fucking, like, five-year-olds to watch it, and I'm like, this is completely inappropriate.
Can I tell you, I went to see, it was some children's movie that also, at the same time, there's a sequel to an adult comedy. The one where Justin Bieber gets shot in the face in the first like 5 minutes. I can't remember what it was. It was like a Seth Rogen comedy. And they accidentally started playing that instead of the and it was like a theater full of children and their parents. It was like Memorial Day weekend. It was like this AMC.
That was on purpose.
Up. It was that was a hit job. Amazing.
That is hilarious.
What about Squirrel Days, but DAZE?
You are like reading my mind. I was just about to say that after we got done with the thing.
I like it.
Good.
I think Squirrel Days is good. I think
I like just, it.
I think we can all agree on Squirrel Days. Our psychic connection. The Lord told us squirrel days.
Squirrel days are here, man. They're upon us right now.
Yeah.
Coming to you in theaters, not anymore, because there's no theaters.
Yeah, rest in peace. It'll be
straight to Netflix or Hulu or
projecting
one of those,
onto your wall across
the
street.
I saw Cinemark that July 1st for reopening. Because they got to show Tenet.
Yeah. People don't got those 70 millimeter TVs at home. You got to open up the theaters. Yeah.
You got me.
So what are we thinking for poster artwork?
What about this? Woman, Catherine Hahn's face profile. There's a microphone in front of her, but her shadow that is cast is a squirrel.
I like it.
Ooh, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Like that episode one poster with Anakin's shadow being Darth.
I was kind of thinking a squirrel looking into a pond, but then it reflects Catherine Hahn's face. But I like the shadow thing too. That's pretty cool.
I like the shadow thing. I think I can definitely do that. That's awesome. All right. I'm gonna let Tristan tell us where you can find him at.
You can go to TristanJMiller.com. All my info is there. It's weird to plug a website, but I do it. At TristanJMiller1 on Twitter. That's probably the main thing I would ask you to follow me on, because I'm a comedian and that's what we do. I have a Patreon where I have bonus content, including video essays that I make about movies. So if you like movies, which I guess that you probably do if you're listening to this, you can check those out at patreon.com/TristanJMiller, and then I post them later on my YouTube. So there's also a bunch of podcasts and other stuff available there.
Cool.
Awesome. Movie. Thanks. Yeah. And that is Script Prompt 2. You can find us at scriptprompt2.com. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Script Prompt 2. And if you like what you hear and you want to support us, rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And if you really, really like what you hear and you want to support us even more, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/scriptprompt2, where you can get bonus episodes and early access to all of our content. Also, if you'd like to send in your ideas for the prompts we drew today or any other episode, you can send it over to podcast@scriptprompt2. Or you can leave a comment or message on any of our social media platforms. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Tristan. It was great, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun, too. It was very great. All right. Good to meet y'all.
Nice to meet you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.